Amen. You may be seated. And turn with me, if you will, to the New Testament book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 653 of your pew Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pray with me this morning. As we examine this text with this thought in mind, a faith that saves, a faith that saves. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. Bombs are falling today in Afghanistan, but bombs falling in mountains don't have as great effect as bombs falling on cities with buildings. In World War II, the bombing was devastating because people were living in buildings and the buildings were bombed out. And I read a story a while back about a bombing that went on in World War II over in Europe, and a father and son had to run out of the building because their building was being bombed. And as they ran to the street, there was a big bomb hole in the ground, big crater. So the father decided to jump in there and take cover. So he jumped down to this deep hole, and he stood and reached his arms up for his son to jump down with him. But the son looked into that dark, deep hole, and he said, Father, I can't see you. And the father says, I know you can't, son, but I can see you. Go ahead and jump. And so that young boy jumped in and was saved because he trusted that his father could see him and knew what was best. Our heavenly father is more trustworthy than any earthly father could ever be. And we cannot see, and we do not know exactly what God is calling us to do. But he sees us. He knows where we are, and he knows where we need to go. And we can trust him that he will not drop us. He will catch us in whatever situation we're in. He will not put us to shame. He will catch us. He will lift us up in his mighty arms. We must have faith that God is able to do what he says that he will do. That's what saving faith is all about. It's not blind faith. It's a faith that said, God sees what I cannot see, and I trust him to do what I cannot do. I trust God to lead me. That's what saving faith is all about. But what does that saving faith look like in real life? And how do we attain that kind of faith that we're able to trust God to take us in those places that we can't see the end of it? Well, in his letter to the church at Rome, Paul describes the necessity and the characteristics of this kind of saving faith. So let's turn to the text so we might discover the attributes that we must develop to demonstrate a faith that saves. Looking at the text again, verse 11 says, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. To have a faith that saves, you must seek to know God through his word. You must seek to know God through his word. And the reason you must know that, must do that, because God honors a faith that seeks him, that looks him up. Verse 11 says, the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. No one who has put his trust in God has ever been forsaken. God is completely faithful. If you turn yourself over to God completely, he will keep you safe in his hands completely. And you don't have to worry about God letting you down. God will come through for you. You just have, need to have a faith that's strong enough to put your trust into things that you cannot see. We have a faith that says we trust God regardless of our circumstances. Our circumstances should not make us change our mind about God. God honors that kind of faith that will stay with him during the tough times. God honors faith, but we must also seek God's word because God answers all who call upon him. Look at verse 12. It says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. God has leveled the playing field. Everyone has the same opportunity to be saved by the word of God. God told Abraham that he would make him a blessing and that through him the whole world would be blessed. Through his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And Jesus was that the fulfillment of that promise that God gave Abraham. He bridged the gap between the Jews and the Gentiles with his death on the cross. All of God's riches are now available to everyone through Jesus Christ. As long as we call on his name, when we speak to the Father, calling on Jesus' name brings all the riches that God has. God honors faith, so we must seek to know God through his word. Because God's call is to everyone. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God in the Old Testament predicted that the day would come when he would remove the veil and that all mankind would be able to draw near unto him. And Paul quotes the prophet Joel and declares that that day has come right now. By calling on the name of Jesus, salvation is available to all. Jesus called it the acceptable year of the Lord. We call it the age of grace. We're in the age of grace now where you can walk freely and give your heart over to the Lord, and God accepts everyone who comes to him in Jesus' name. And what that means is there is a bridge now from man to God, and the name of that bridge is Jesus Christ. And there is no substitute for the name of Jesus. Peter said in Acts 4:12, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is special. Paul says there's a time coming that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That time is coming, but you need to confess him right now because you wait till the end time, it's going to be too late. You can call him now, call him later, but everyone is going to call on the name of Jesus at some time. To have a faith that says you must seek to know God through his word. Seek to know God through his word. If you're still running from the word of God, how can you claim that God's word has saved you? So we must seek God's word, seek to know it, to learn it. You never graduate from the word of God. There's always more you can learn from God's word because it's a living word. So you need to seek to know God through his holy and divine word. To have a faith that saves, you need to seek to know God through his word, but you must do more than just seek. You must hear. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. To have a faith that's saved, you must hear God's word when he speaks to you. You must hear God's word when he speaks to you. Before we can believe God, we must hear God. We must hear the gospel and respond to God's grace. So how can you answer an invitation that you have not received? But God has sent his invitation by special delivery. Jesus Christ came down from glory to deliver the message that God is love. He died on the cross to make that love available to everyone. He rose from the grave to give us assurance that all of God's grace was free for everyone, free for the asking. And as precious as the message of salvation is, God chose the foolishness of preaching to make it known. I mean, God chose, he could have chose any other intellectual way. God chose to have someone stand in front of people and preach his word to make that the methods the method of bringing out his salvation. Salvation is not disseminated in the university halls. It is not purchased on Wall Street. You cannot download it from the web. God chose the methodology of preaching to announce his great gift to the world. And Paul explains how God chose to confound the wisdom of the world by the method by which he chose to deliver his gospel. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. He says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength." Man cannot save himself by his own devices. Man cannot by his own devices discover God. If God didn't want us to know him, we couldn't figure him out. What we know about God, God has revealed to us through his word. And his word proclaimed by those who God chose to send it out. God says, go and preach my word. And God is sovereign on choosing those who he would have declare his word. He doesn't ask for permission or advice. He just says, go and preach my word. Every earthly person whom God has chosen to preach his word has been unworthy. But his word has still been effective. Regardless of the unworthy character that he chose to present his word has the power to become effective regardless. That is the power that's in the word of God, not in the person, but it's in the word of God itself. The gospel is beautiful because it is the power of God. Romans 1:16 said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." The power of God saving men and women, boys and girls, from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God. The gospel has the power to save those from that terrible penalty. The gospel is God's love shining through into this world, lifting the lost and comforting the troubled. We must hear the gospel because it is God's remedy for the ills of the world. Despite the nonsense that the evolutionists teach, this world did not come about by accident. Some people think it came about by accident. Every meteor comes by and says, uh-oh, this accident from that. Well, if that meteor does come by and destroy the world, it won't be an accident because God says time is up. This world was created by an all-present, all-knowing, all-powerful God. God is not an absentee landlord. He is here watching over his creation, caring for it, tending it, keeping it. God did not create man, turn loose on the earth and say, well, goodbye and good luck. Hope things work out for you. God has provided us with his word, and his word has the answer to all of man's ills. And that may seem simplistic to some, but it has been demonstrated down through history that in the final analysis, all the problems besetting mankind have spiritual nature at their center. There's spiritual problem. The problem that man has is man calls coming from inside of man. For example, man has been plagued throughout time by war, by poverty and hunger. And what is the root causes of that war, poverty and hunger? Well, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 tell us that those wars that we fight on the outside come from the wars that we're fighting on the inside of lust and envy and anger and greed. Those wars on the inside cause those wars to come out on the outside. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:12 that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. That spiritual wickedness in high places and low places, even in our own souls, is what we're fighting against every day. In recent times, we discovered in this country that the only programs which have been effective in fighting poverty on a true sense have been those programs that started out as faith-based programs. Those programs that started out giving honor to God and they say, in God's name, we're going to go out and do something about it. Those, they didn't plan it that way. They discovered that those are the programs where God was at the start of it that have had any real effect on fighting the problems of the world. Those programs that were rooted in the word of God, regardless of denomination, were the programs that have gotten results. God has given us his word to show us the way. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that tells us we must hear the word of God. We must hear the word of God to have a faith that saves. But that's not all. Not just hearing it. We must do something else. You must do more than hear. Verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To have a faith that says, you must believe the word of God. You must believe the word of God. Not everyone who hears the word believes the word. Isaiah said, you know, not everyone has obeyed the gospel. And why would that be? Why would man not believe God about something as wonderful as the gospel? God has an outstretched hand reaching down to lift man up out of his fallen state. Why would man not accept God's help? Well, there are a multitude of reasons, but I want to tell you about a couple of them this morning. First of all, it's shame. Sin brings shame. Our society today does not even admit that there's anything called shame anymore and nothing called sin. But our soul knows that God is righteous. And there are so many who do not listen to God's word because they know that they have lived contrary to the word of God, and there is sin staining their souls and shaming their souls. And so they will not come to God's light to have their sin and their shame shown up. They live in denial. They also live in condemnation. And you can identify some of these people because they tend to get very hostile when the word of God comes up. And you don't want God even mentioned in their presence. Those are the kind of folks who want Christians to shut up their faith and shut down their faith until just Sunday comes around and only mention Jesus in church. But our Lord told us to shout it from the rooftops. We have a story to tell regardless of the shame of unbelievers. And look at what Jesus said about those who are living in denial. In John chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Man will not respond to God because he is ashamed of his deeds. And the other reason is blindness. I'm speaking about spiritual blindness. Some folks don't listen to God because they feel that God is not relevant to their daily lives. Satan has blinded their mind to their need for God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Man will not respond to God because he is blinded by the devil. So then hearing is not enough. To have a faith that saves, you must believe the gospel as the word of God. Verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You must hear the word and receive the word as the word of God. Not as a wise saying, not as good advice, but as the unchangeable word of the eternal God. Saving faith does not come from your education. It does not come from your denomination. It doesn't even come from your dedication. It comes from hearing, believing, and receiving the word of God. Let me give an example of the saving faith that we've been talking about. As Jesus performed his earthly ministry, there were those among the Jews, God's chosen people, who refused to accept him as Messiah. They were continually asking Jesus for signs, supernatural proof that he was the Son of God. And no matter what Jesus did, they found a way to disbelieve him. He cured the sick. Still they didn't believe him. He fed the hungry. Still didn't believe him. He raised the dead, and still they said, well, show us a sign. And after Jesus had fulfilled all the prophecies of Scripture concerning his coming, and still they said, show us a sign. Jesus called them an evil and adulterous generation that was seeking for a sign that they would not receive. But then Jesus one day was astonished when a Roman soldier, a pagan, a commander of the Roman military, stopped him and asked him to heal his servant who was sick at home. So Jesus agreed to go to the man's home, but the Roman soldier amazed the Lord by saying, you don't have to go to my home. I know how faith works. He said, I'm in charge of people. When I tell people to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. And I have a command over me. When he calls me, I come where he calls me, and I go where he tells me. He said, you don't have to go to my house. Just speak the word, and I know my servant will be healed. He was talking about a faith that saved. Jesus said, I haven't found that kind of faith in Israel. This man has demonstrated what faith is like. He knew that all Jesus had to do was speak the word, and it would happen. When you have a faith that saves, you know that God doesn't have to do any miraculous thing. He doesn't have to lift mountains. You just trust in him. Your mountain is already lifted. But your trust is the thing that needs to be there. You just need to have the faith to trust that God is able to do what he said he would do. That's a faith that saves. That's a faith that the Lord requires. The kind of faith that puts trust in the love of God, trust in the power of God. A faith that saves is a faith that receives God's power with a thankful heart. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. To have a faith that saves, we must have a faith that seeks God's word, because God honors that kind of faith. To have a faith that saves, we must hear God's word, because faith comes by hearing. And how can we believe in what we have not heard? To have a faith that saves, we must believe God's word, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's hearing the word of God and receiving it into our souls that makes it truth for us. Saving faith receives the word as the word of God. A faith that saves will lift you up when your world has come crashing down around you. A faith that saves will give you joy when the world is offering you only sadness. A faith that saves will give you light when the world looks awfully dark all around you. A faith that saves will give you hope when the world can offer you only despair. A faith that saves will give you courage when the world is trying to frighten you out of your wits. A faith that saves will give you life when death seems to surround you. That kind of saving faith is expressed in what's probably the most well-known passage of all Scripture, the 23rd Psalm. If you listen carefully, you'll discover that it is the greatest expression of faith that's ever been recorded. Listen as David, in this very familiar song, declares his faith for the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's faith. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. That's faith. He restores my souls. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That's faith. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's faith David is talking about. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. That's faith. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a faith that saves. That's a faith that saves. That's a faith that will see you through the struggles of this life. That's a faith that will keep you going when the world tells you just to stop right there. That's a faith that says you can make it when the world says you don't have a chance. That's a faith that says Goliath is a wimp when the world says Goliath is a giant. That's a faith that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's a faith that says those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's a faith that says that earth has no problems that heaven cannot heal. That's a faith that leads you to glory. A faith that will bring you home. That's a faith that saves. That's a faith that says, as Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. Not saved just for heaven, but that's the important part of it. But saved as you walk through this life. You're walking in a state of savedness. The moment you trust God with your lips and with your heart, you are saved. You are God's creature. You are God's child. At this time, we ask the choir to come and sing for us. As the congregation stands, and as they sing, we're standing here as the church is gathered. We've all been saved by God, but we may not have been walking as close to God as we should. This is the time where you can get close to God again. Just open your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, draw me close. Draw me near. Lift me up. Keep me in your arms. That closer walk, we can get it right here, right now with the Lord. As you prepare your house, you may just want to thank the Lord for what he's already done in your life, for where he's brought you from, for how he's been keeping you and strengthening you. Sing, choir.